first page of the overview book, then we see that chapter 4, which we're going on to shortly, is called Devotee. So actually it is really, when now the discussion is moving on to the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, now we are coming to some standard of real pure devotional service. All these other people we've been meeting in the meantime, you know, arguably there's some other sort of influences there, some other factors there in their devotional service, in their Krishna consciousness. So Sanatana Goswami has titled chapter 4, Devotee. Lord Shiva is beyond material nature, that's a fact. But when it comes to like really pure devotional service, the idea is it begins with the inhabitants of Vaikuntha. So then, in number 12 then, in our overview book, Lord Shiva starts explaining about these inhabitants of Vaikuntha and how they really have got the mercy of the Lord. So the main thing is, it's not really dealt with in much detail, so I'll go through as it appears in the book, which is a little bit more detailed, why they're really the greatest devotees or have the greatest mercy. So the first thing he says, they're all pure devotees. They're all pure devotees. They've given up everything material. They don't even glance on material things. They have no pride. They have no false ego. So what's he saying? He's comparing them to him. He's the deity of false ego. He has a bit himself. They don't have it. They're pure devotees, completely beyond him, on a higher level. And they have gone to that place, Vaikuntha, which is inaccessible even to Shiva himself. He is outside the material nature, but he is not exactly in Vaikuntha. He is in a sort of interim position, or a, you know, kind of halfway house position. And therefore a lot of his associates are Brahmavadis. They're on the impersonal side. Although many of them are also devotees, but it tends to be mixed. But these Vaikunthavasis, they live in a place where even Lord Shiva can't go, and even the liberated souls who live with him. So the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, well, this is mentioned in point 12, they have Satchitananda bodies. But not only bodies, along with those bodies come Satchitananda powers and opulences, just like Krishna, or at least just like Lord Narayan. Some of them are powerful and opulent like him. After all, one of the four types of Vaishnav liberations is to have the same opulence as the Lord. So, some of them have it. It's very amazing. Then they do some interesting things, these Vaikunthavasis. In the overview book it says all they want is to protect and increase devotees and devotional service. There's more detail to it. First of all, they freely travel and preach to help others become devotees. They make lots of devotees, much more than Lord Shiva. Then the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they cause some of their own people to take birth in devotee families in the material world. for developing devotional service and expanding devotional service, they cause some of their own people to take birth. They have this missionary spirit. Sometimes they intervene and they protect devotees. What's an example of that? Well, the example which is given in Brihad Bhagavatamrita is when they intervene to save a Jamyong. Yeah, they intervened to save them. They were Vaikuntha-vasis. And they help the devotees in all sorts of subtle ways. And an example of that is Srila Prabhupada was once doing a program and there was some big rock concert on, like across the road or around the corner at the same time. So nobody came to the program. They all went to this rock concert, but Prabhupada just carried on and had the program anyway, even though there was only a few devotees and maybe one or two guests in a hall. So afterwards the devotees expressed their regret and apologized to Prabhupada that, you know, we should have thought the arrangements out better. And we're really sorry nobody came. And this is a famous incident, actually. Prabhupada turned and said, what? What do you mean nobody came? Didn't you see Narada Muni? Didn't you see him then? Didn't you see Lord Brahma? So Narada Muni is a Vaikuntha-vasi, in fact. In fact, he is one of these very Vaikuntha-vasis who has this missionary spirit. And he goes and intervenes and does so many things to push forward the cause of devotional service in the material world. So, Lord Shiva is saying, these Vaikuntha-vasis, they're far beyond me because they have this mood of saving the conditioned souls. And in these various different ways, they actually do it. They have various programs for saving the conditioned souls. So they're really advanced. They don't give liberation like me and get laughed at by the devotees. No, they're the leaders of the devotees. Then he says that in Vaikuntha, they always see the Lord face to face. And he tells Narada, don't tell me that I always see Krishna within the heart of every living entity, and therefore I'm on the same level, because I'm not. It's different when you see the Lord face to face and you can speak with him and interact. And then last point, almost last point, and it is mentioned in point 12 in the overview book, that they are so just surcharged with love for the Lord and just pure devotion that they are willing to do anything. They even assume the forms of animals or even plants in order to serve the Lord. So just see how they love the Lord. What to speak of being willing to live in poverty? They're willing to live as animals or even plants. So see, the amount of mercy they must have, it's really incredible. Then, let's see. Yes, they have Krishna Prema. It's not available on Shiva Loka. So now, let's see, where are we? So that was point 12. That goes in the book from verse 42 to verse 53. Now we'll go into point 13, which is from verse 54 to verse 63. Lord Shiva, he's making the same point, but it's kind of like a twist on the same point. Lord Shiva says, there are also pure devotees on the same level as these Vaikuntavasis, but they live in the material world. Yeah. So this is point 13, that there are some human beings and they're just as worshipable, that they're just as advanced. This now is not that devotee Brahman who we met in chapter 1. These are more advanced devotees than that. They're equal to the Vaikuntavasis, but they're in the material world. So, some of the characteristics are mentioned here, but there are more given in the book. They're completely surrendered. They've given up their wealth, families, and lives for the Lord. They've gone beyond the rules of Varnashram. They are completely greedy for devotional service. And wherever you find them, it's Vaikuntha. It's the same as Vaikuntha, even though it's in the material world. And their bodies, it's mentioned in point 13. Even though it seems they have material bodies, but actually they're spiritual. They're not material. This is why, incidentally, like when Srila Prabhupada left this world, his body was not burnt. His body was buried whole in salt, which preserves the body, because the body is considered spiritual of a great devotee like Srila Prabhupada. So here Lord Shiva's talking about the same types of devotees. Their bodies, they look like they're flesh and blood, but they're spiritual. Then he makes another point which is important, but it's not mentioned here actually. It's in verses 62 and 63, right at the end of Lord Shiva explaining the glories of the residence of Vaikuntha. He makes the point, he says, you know, after having said that these great devotees in the material world are just equal to the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, I don't make any distinction between the two groups. He says, however, the inhabitants of Vaikuntha have the personal company of the Lord, so they prefer to live there. And therefore they're greater than these other advanced devotees within the material world. And therefore, the Vaikuntavasis specifically have received the most mercy. Now, this is an interesting little point. This is sort of like a defect. This is one of the Vaishnava types of liberation. Do you remember what it's called? Sa-lokya, that you get the special mercy, special benediction. You get to live on the same planet as the Lord and always see Him. But in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada explains that the inhabitants of Vrindavan are not always seeing Krishna. And their standard of pure devotional service is higher because they're not dependent on seeing Him. They're not attached to that. If He wants them to go away to serve Him, they'll go away and serve Him. Of course they'd like to see Him, but if they know that He wants them to go away and serve Him, they'll go away. But the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, they have this thing, we must be with the Lord. And it's so strong that they are with the Lord. But it's like a transcendental attachment. And there are higher states of consciousness. And it is not necessarily a fact, really, that because the inhabitants of Vaikuntha are always with the Lord and can always see them, see Him, it is not a fact that therefore they are greater than the very advanced devotees in this world. It's actually not a fact. Yes. Because, you know, some like Srila Prabhupada, for example, and You know, the six Goswamis and other great devotees who have appeared within this world, they're residents of Goloka Vrindavan. They're beyond. And just through practicing Krishna consciousness, you can become so qualified, you can go to Goloka Vrindavan, which is beyond Vaikuntha. So this is a little bit of a trick, actually. But this is the way Lord Shiva sees it. You know, just like the other people at the beginning were saying, you know, this one, Lord Indra or whoever, he's got more mercy, he's more advanced, because he's got more money from the Lord. So it's like that, but it's more subtle, a more subtle type of misconception being suggested by one of these people. So I don't know, looks like we may not get on to chapter 4, but anyway, that's okay. Let's just finish off here now, this chapter 3. Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva, now interjects. It's over the page in the overview book. It's point 14. And it's pretty much covered here in point 14. She is recommending to Narada Muni that, you know, if you're going to go to Vaikuntha, if you want to meet some of these Vaikuntha Vasis and see how they've got the mercy, then the one to meet is Lakshmi. Just like amongst all the demigods, it was said earlier by the king, then Lord Indra is the highest. So if you're going to visit the demigods, go to Indra. So Parvati says, if you're going to go to Vaikuntha, then go see Lakshmi. She's the one. Out of all the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, she's got the most mercy. And it's quite nicely covered here. There are four main points. She is worshipped by everyone in Vaikuntha. They all worship Lakshmi as the consort of Narayana. And she gives knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. She is Bhakti Devi, on the Vaikuntha platform at least. She's Bhakti Devi. And she's always with the Lord so intimately. She's always on his chest, just inseparable. And she's so qualified. She's the most chaste and just finest example of a devotee. So Narada is now fired up. Right, I'm going to Vaikuntha, I'm going to meet Lakshmi. And he starts to leave when Lord Shiva, just looking over his shoulder to make sure that Parvati isn't watching, really, he catches Narada before he leaves and whispers into his ear. It's a fact. It's explained in the book. Making sure that Parvati doesn't hear. And he says, look, you know, it's Mahalakshmi, it's all very well. But, you know, the thing is, my wife is an expansion of her. So she's biased. But actually there is someone in Vaikuntha who is more advanced than Lakshmi. Who is it? It's Prahlad. So if you're going to Vaikuntha, see Prahlad. And how do we know? How do we know? Well, it's referred to here in point 15. This is now verse 70 to 86. But if we've got a little more detail here, makes it a little clearer. So let's see. So Lord Shiva explains to Narada Muni that you remember that time when Prahlad was saved by Nrisingadev. And all the demigods, including Lakshmi, they were all assembled there and they didn't know what to do. Even Lakshmi wouldn't approach Nrsingadev. So what did they do? Lord Brahma pushed Prahlad forward, and he went forward. And the Lord accepted him, and patted him, and petted him so affectionately. But even when he was doing that, at least some of the time, he was manifesting such anger at the same time. It was like a mixture of moods. There was still this like hangover of anger, that even Lakshmi was still hesitant to approach him. But the Lord, let's see. Oh, well, the details actually are gone into when Narada meets Prahlad. But anyway, basically, the Lord was so affectionate with Prahlad. He was kissing him and licking him, because he's half lion. So he was expressing his love by licking Prahlad enthusiastically. But still there was some of this anger around, and Lakshmi was holding back. Oh, and then it's mentioned here. It's indirectly mentioned. Although the Lord repeatedly wanted to give Prahlad liberation, Prahlad simply desired devotion. Well, actually, the Lord was willing to give anything, and he was demanding, but Prahlad wouldn't accept. And when the Lord insisted, then Prahlad said, all right, if you really insist, you must do something for me, then please deliver my father. So in this way, Prahlad showed his exalted position. Then, now we mentioned, or Narada mentioned, how Banasura was protected by the Lord on the request of Lord Shiva, right? So Lord Shiva says now, right here at the end of chapter 3, it wasn't because I asked, it was because I reminded the Lord that Banasura is a descendant of Prahlad. Then the Lord immediately stopped and just turned everything around from being just about to kill him to just giving him so much mercy and giving him a Vaikuntha body. Lord Shiva says that, you know, I don't even have a Vaikuntha body. But the Lord gave him a Vaikuntha body. So it wasn't to do with me. It was because the Lord became reminded that Banasura is a descendant of Prahlad, which is a fact. And Bali Maharaj, we know the story from the 8th canto, Bali Maharaj disobeyed his guru Shukracharya, and on one hand, and on the other hand, you know, the Lord asked for 3 steps of land, but Bali Maharaj only gave 2. And it was only, you know, right at the end, after being put under much pressure and made captive and all these sorts of things, that then Bali Maharaj gave a 3rd step. So Lord Shiva's point here is that Bali Maharaj procrastinated, and, you know, he didn't really please the Lord so much. But still the Lord became his doorkeeper. Why? Not because of his surrender, but because he's also a descendant of Prahlad. And final point, interesting little point. Even though the Lord is very attached to Lakshmi, he still has a special place in his heart for new devotees who have become devotees. Sri Sri Radha Radhana Sri Chidan Mahaprabhu Ki. So we'll just conclude here. Just give us 1 minute. The Lord has a special place. You know, Lakshmi is an old devotee. She didn't have to become a devotee and face so many challenges and difficulties, but Prahlad and the new devotees, who were not devotees, but they became devotees, through much difficulty and struggle and, you know, dealing with so many obstacles, and then they became pure devotees. So the Lord Shiva says that Krishna has a special place in his heart for these new devotees who have undergone so much trial and tribulation for him. So it's Prahlad. Go see Prahlad, but don't tell my wife, okay? It's a deal. And off went Narada, not to see Lakshmi, but to see Prahlad. So tonight we'll go on to chapter 4, and Narada will meet Prahlad, and Hanuman also is the next one after Prahlad. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions, incidentally? Okay, that's all right. So maybe we can have a little kirtan for the deities. Granthiraj Sri Brihad Bhagavatam Lita Ke Srila Sanatan Goswami Ke. Lakshmi. But then as Narada was just moving away, Lord Shiva took him aside quietly and whispered in his ear, "No, it's not Lakshmi. It's Prahlad. He's the greatest." So, right at the end then, we read some of the reasons why Lord Shiva felt that Prahlad was the greatest. It's there in our overview book, the last point in Chapter 3, point 15. Prahlad is the greatest devotee because Krishna has said so. And how Lakshmi was not able to approach Lord Nrisingadeva at that time when Hiranyakashipu was killed, but Prahlad was able to. And although the Lord was offering, "Whatever you want, you just tell me. In fact, I insist, I really want to give you something." But Prahlad was not interested in any material things, not even liberation. In the end, he said, "All right, if you really must give me something, then deliver my father, who was so sinful and such a wretched rascal. So you just be merciful to him." Lord Shiva, already Narada Muni had made the point that Lord Krishna had become merciful to certain demons. Bali Maharaj and Banasura particularly were mentioned. So Narada had said that the Lord Krishna had been merciful to those demons because they were devotees of Lord Shiva. But Lord Shiva now says that the reason the Lord was merciful to them was nothing to do with me. It's because they're descendants of Prahlad. So once Krishna understood that clearly, his mood towards them just changed completely. So there we saw at the end of chapter 3 a number of reasons, not a large number, but some number of reasons were given by Lord Shiva why Prahlad should be considered the recipient of the Lord's greatest mercy. So Narada Muni then, he became just so inspired when he heard that. He flew off to Sutala Loka. It is like a higher planet Vaikuntha planet, because after all we're talking about residents of Vaikuntha here, so it's like a Vaikuntha planet within the universe. So Narada went there, he was so inspired, he went there so quickly that Brihad Bhagavatamrita says he flew at the speed of the mind, very fast. Speed of the mind means now we're sitting here in Durban, outside Poppet Lal Karas. Is that the right place to be? No. Now we're at our temple in London, at the Manor, Radha Gokulananda, just like that. And now quickly we've gone to New York to see Radha Govinda in Brooklyn. And now quickly we just went off to Vrindavan to see Krishna and Balaram. So that's, and now we're back here. Well, now let's just go to Lanesh and see Nathagauri. Okay, there we are. Now we're back. That's the speed of the mind. So Narada, he was so inspired. He just flew off. He always flies, that's a fact. But this time he really flew at such an incredible speed. Yes, so we're going to follow again in our overview book what it says there, and explain a little bit the points that are made, and in some cases there may be a little bit of extra information also which isn't there in the overview book, and we'll give you the references also from the big book if you've got the big book. See, only a few of you have the big book. Okay, so now this point number one, it's like a little introduction to what we've mentioned right now. Narada went flying off to Sutala Loka. This is verses 1, 2, and 3. So there, Narada found Prahlad meditating quietly. And interestingly enough, his eyes were closed and he was just completely absorbed internally. But somehow or other he became inspired to understand that Narada was there, even though his eyes were closed, just like this internal revelation. But he was so he realized, Narada's here. How wonderful. And Prahlad became very enthusiastic. But he was so deep in his meditation that he couldn't respond immediately. He had to bring his consciousness back to the external level, from that deep internal absorption. And then he got up and he didn't embrace Narada. He offered his obeisances. You know, like Lord Shiva embraced Narada because they're brothers. But Prahlad Maharaj didn't embrace Narada. He offered obeisances. Do you know why? It's a fairly simple answer, actually. Sorry? Because he's a Vaishnava. Well, because Narada is his spiritual master. Narada is the guru of Prahlad Maharaj. Yes, that's there in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. He instructed Prahlad when Prahlad was still in the womb. And Prahlad makes many statements about Narada. How can I leave his servants? You know that verse? Anyway, there's this one verse where he says, you know, he means so much, how could I leave his service? It's inconceivable. So, Narada, even though he's the spiritual master of Prahlad, Narada was so excited, so overwhelmed with enthusiasm, seeing Prahlad Maharaj and telling him, it's you, you are the one, you have the most mercy. You are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. It's just so ecstatic to meet you. Prahlad Maharaj had to catch hold of Narada, even though he's a spiritual master, and force him to sit down. Otherwise, Narada was just dancing around, just completely, so excited. So, seeing Narada as a spiritual master, then Prahlad wanted to worship him. But Narada refused. Narada, it says there actually, at the beginning of point two, Narada refused to accept his worship. Even though Prahlad is his disciple, Narada is the spiritual master, but Narada was feeling so enthusiastic. This devotee is so great. Such a wonderful devotee. I'm so fortunate to have his association. So Narada refused to accept any worship or any special treatment. And he just launched into glorification of Prahlad. Just completely into glorification. So this is there then in number two. And Narada, he actually said quite a few things. Some of the things are here. Let's see. Actually, the first point, which is not recorded here in the overview book, the first thing that Narada told Prahlad, you have received the most mercy from the Lord because from childhood you just knew nothing other than service to the Lord. Even from the very beginning of your childhood, you never played any games. You never did any of the things children normally do. You just worshipped the Lord. That's all you did. And there's a verse, or two or so, a few verses, in the Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, where Prahlad's absorption in devotional service is described. Even as a young child, he was so absorbed, so much on the transcendental platform, that externally, he just became silent, like he was dumb, like he was unable to speak. His friends would come and tell him, come on, let's play. He'd just look at them like he was somewhere else, just somewhere else. And his mind was so absorbed in thinking of Krishna in so many ways that he didn't even know how the world was going on. He didn't even know that he had bodily functions like eating or sleeping. He didn't even know about these things. He couldn't understand where he was, what was happening. It was just all Krishna, that's all. And he didn't know how he was walking, eating, drinking, talking. These things were just happening automatically as if a machine was running. But he was just not involved. Sometimes he cried for no reason. Sometimes he laughed for no reason. Sometimes he'd get into great anxiety for no reason, at least externally. But it was all due to this internal absorption and internal interactions with Krishna. So these are the first things that are described. And finally there, at least in that first bit, it explains that sometimes the Lord would come unseen to everyone else. The Lord would come and embrace him. And when that happened, his hairs would stand on end, tears would just pour out of his eyes, and his mother and his friends would, they just wouldn't know what's going on here. They couldn't see. He was being embraced by the Lord, but he could see. He could see that. So that was the first part. Then we see in the overview book, point number two, A. Narada Muni says that you are the dearmost devotee of the Lord. You've got the most mercy because we see the Lord descended from Vaikuntha just to protect you. Just to protect you, he descended and intervened. And in the meantime, this is also connected with this point A. In the meantime, Prahlad was completely unaware that his father was torturing him. He just didn't even know. And Prabhupada mentions, actually, that sometimes people would come to him like well-wishers, and they'd say, you know, oh, we're so sorry. There's nothing we can do. We wish we could do something. But your father, he's such a demon. He's just mistreating you and abusing you so horribly. We feel so sorry, but there's nothing we can do. He'll just kill us just like that. But we're so sorry. We feel so bad for you. And Prahlad would say, excuse me, what are you talking about? My father abusing me? He said, no, he's not abusing me. He's my father. He's just playing with me. He had so much protection and mercy from the Lord. It actually seemed to him like that. Not that he was being very renounced and being very detached and being very tolerant. He didn't even know these things were happening because of the mercy he was getting from the Lord. Then it says, number 2b, I think is not entirely accurate. Due to his unalloyed devotion to Krishna, well, his demoniac father didn't really become a great devotee. But his friends did. This is more what it says in the book. I mean, in the long run, I guess his father became a devotee. That was part of the deal, that after three births, Hiranyakashipu, who was Jai, of the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, that he would be reinstated in his position as a devotee, go back to Vaikuntha. That was there. But more specifically, when Prahlad was in school, then his school friends, they were all demons. They weren't interested in religion, spiritual life, piety, chanting the names of God. They weren't interested in these things. But Prahlad, because he was so advanced in unalloyed devotional service, then they all became devotees. They all became devotees, even though they were not intending to at all. So there are descriptions there in the Bhagavatam how when the teacher, if the teacher would ever have to leave the room for 5 minutes and then come back, when he came back, there'd be this huge kirtan going on. All the sons of the demons We'd just be dancing and chanting like mad, and Prahlad would be leading them. So this was a great cause of consternation for the teachers, who were meant to be training them up to be first-class demons. So some of them became devotees by listening to what he said. Some of them became devotees just by seeing him. Some of them became devotees just by touching him. His association was just so incredible. Yes, so let's see now. So he spreads the glories of the Lord and of devotional service. In this way he's delivered so many people. A little more detail here in number D. When, at that time, when the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu, everyone else was standing back because the Lord was so fearsome. So Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma was being a little kind of unpleasant, really. He thought, this little boy, he's just a silly little boy. He probably doesn't realize it's such a fearful situation. Let us push him forward to try to pacify the Lord. You know, the Lord is so wild in anger. He may just, you know, without even noticing, just smash him and kill him. But he's only a little boy, so it doesn't really matter so much. If he kills one of us demigods, that would be more serious. So that was what Brahma was thinking. Go on, you just go ahead, it's okay. So Prahlad did go ahead. And Nrsingadev, it's nicely described here actually. So Prahlad approached Lord Nrsingadev and fell down at his lotus feet. The Lord picked him up with his own hands, and placing his lotus hands on Prahlad's head, he licked his body with great affection. You know, human beings kiss. Bit of a funny practice if you think about it. But animals, like cats, lions, they lick. So Lord Nrsingadev gave him a big lick. I think more than just one lick. He was just licking him and licking him. There's just this amazing exchange going on. Yeah. So Prahlad, this is what Narada is saying. You got so much mercy. You got licked. You got licked by the Lord. You really got the mercy. So then, let's see. So it's not directly mentioned here. Actually, it was mentioned by Lord Shiva. That's a fact. So the Lord took Prahlad, licked him and petted him and embraced him and so on. Then the Lord said, as we mentioned, that I've decided I want to give you something, so just ask. So then this whole kind of back and forward exchange occurred, and Prahlad was refusing and telling, actually, what he told the Lord. It's very nice. It's there in the seventh canto. He said, you know, all I want to do is serve you. And as long as I have that, I have everything. That's more than enough. It's okay. Just don't worry about offering me anything. Just let me continue as your devotee. So the Lord kept insisting, though, and Prahlad, he told the Lord, he said, you know, if, he said, I'm actually your servant, If, in order to get me inspired to serve you, you had to give me something, like now you're offering me something. So if, in order to get me inspired to serve you, you had to give me something, then I couldn't say that I was your servant, if it took that to make me serve you. And if you, in order to get me to accept you, and, you know, as being worthy of being served, if you had to give me something, that means you're not my master. So, then I'm not your servant, you're not my master, we are just businessmen. That's all. We are just businessmen. We are just making a deal in terms of our own personal gratification. It's not master and servant. So Prahlad told him, all I want to know is that you're my master and I'm your servant. That's all. So please, can we leave it at that? And you know what Hiranyakashipu said? Lord Nrisimhadev. What did Lord Nrisimhadev say? He said, no. I want to give you something. So this was like Prahlad was thinking, my gosh, you know, what am I going to do here? This is too much. Then he thought, oh yes, I know. If you really want to give me something which I want, then, you know my father, he was such a first-class demon. He's doubtless going to go to hell and stay there more or less indefinitely. So if you want to give something which will please me, then please give my father, just deliver him from that hellish future. Just deliver him. So then Lord Nrisimhadev said, okay, actually he's already delivered, so you don't even need to ask for that. It's already happened because you're a pure devotee. Because you're the greatest of devotees. And then fortunately for Prahlad, Lord Nrisimhadev stopped asking him to ask for something. Yeah. Anyway, so that is there. That's referred to, that's E, 2E. Then F. This is an interesting story, which is just here in the overview book. It's really presented very, very briefly. If you've got the book, the big book, and if you've read through it, you would have read the details of this story. It's an interesting story. Prahlad, after all these things had finished, long time after, he's now a king. He's now an adult, and he's the king. So he decided he wanted to see the Lord again. So he inquired, where can I find the Lord? I want to see him again. And some devotees told him, well, there's a really nice deity in the forest of Naimisharanya. There's a really nice deity there. You should go there and then you'll see the Lord again. So Prahlad left home and went on the way to Naimisharanya, and he actually had his own deity that he kept at home. I think the deity was called Pitambar. Anyway, that I forget exactly, but I think that was what the deity was called. So there he was. Every morning he'd worship his deity and then walk on further on the way to Naimisharanya to see this special deity so he could really feel that he was with the Lord again. So as he went, he met one renunciate. This renunciate stopped him on the road. And this renunciate was carrying a bow and arrows. So this was within Prahlad Maharaj's kingdom. And Prahlad thought, what's a renunciate doing with a bow and arrows? He's obviously a hypocrite. So being the king, he wanted to put things right. No hypocrites. Everyone has to follow Dharma. If you're going to be a renunciate. So the Lord challenged that renunciate. He said, you throw away your bow. If you don't, I'll defeat you and I'll force you to throw away the bow. So then they fought. This fight went on for some days. And every morning before they fought, Prahlad would worship his little deity of the Lord. So one morning, he was just about to garland his deity. He was just like putting the garland on when he saw the deity had transformed into that renunciate because it was Krishna. Krishna was testing him. So he garlanded the renunciate there, and he just became overwhelmed that I wanted to see the Lord again in person, and he came to me and I just offended him. That's terrible. So Prahlad then went to the Lord, the renunciate, and threw himself at his lotus feet and said, you know, I'm such an offender, I'm so sorry, but there's one thing which really worries me. That is, I took a vow to defeat you, but obviously I can't. So how am I going to overcome the sin of not fulfilling my vow? So the Lord threw away his bow and said, I'm always defeated by you, and accepted defeat. So that's what's being referred to here in F. That the Lord eventually blessed him. I'm always defeated by you. So his devotion is so great. He's got so much mercy. He's such a great, great devotee that he always defeats the Lord. And the Lord just surrenders to him, actually. Okay. And Narada. Well, he's repeating a point made by Lord Shiva, that the Lord has become the gatekeeper at Bali Maharaja's palace out of affection for Prahlad, because Bali is the grandson of Prahlad. There's an interesting description. It's there in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. How? It's in one of the purports. It's referring to how in Skanda Purana, one time, some demons, 10 demons, attacked Dwarka. So a committee of inhabitants of Dwarka, they went down there, and they were headed by Devasa Muni, actually. They went down there to Bali Maharaja's palace to ask if Bali could please release the Lord so the Lord could come and defend Dwarka. But so they went and they asked the Lord. The Lord was there at the gate because he's the gatekeeper. So they asked the Lord, could you please go and ask Bali if he would release you? So the Lord went in and asked Bali, and Bali refused. He said, no, you can't go. Then Devasa Muni said, all right, I will fast till death then, right here. Go back and tell Bali Maharaj that. See if he'll release you. The Lord went in and asked Bali, came back and said, no. He says, you can fast till death if you like. So the Lord didn't come. And they had, I don't know what happened to the 10 demons, but they didn't get the Lord to go back to defend Dwarka, because he was so much under the control of Bali. But actually he was under the control of Bali, Narada was saying, because Bali is the grandson of Prahlad. Out of love, that great love the Lord has for Prahlad, he was just captured by that, couldn't escape. And so even Bali Maharaj was being apparently unreasonable, but still the Lord wouldn't do anything else, only what Bali said.